I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles and a great deal to discuss.
Oh yeah.
I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined by this sneaky bunch. So say hi, everyone.
Trust being quiet. No
you
one.
Underestimate the sneaky sneaky.
No one can be trusted.
You snuck in. Nope. You snuck out. You snuck through a gate.
Yeah.
Do you want to level up?
Yes, please.
Then let's cue the theme tune.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and d20.
Let's play D&D.
Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative.
Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold.
Inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success all rests upon the dice.
No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is No Small Roles.
So, deep underneath Lake Aira, the Fate-marked Five were faced with a Henge research station. The 9 standing stones there seemed to be much newer than those in the Lockholt Wood, and the paperwork scattered around the room was so complicated, it wasn't clear if they were unravelling the workings of a Henge or trying to recreate it. After much deliberation, the party decided to flood the Henge and use the Homeward Door to escape back to Ilwyn Manor. Still invisible, they grabbed some documents, unlocked the door and stepped through, with Gaius releasing the full force of Lake Aira being held from above. As the door closed, Orin caught a glimpse of a familiar invisible tiefling trying to reach the door after them.
Oops.
But they were unfortunately unsuccessful. Back in Vernock Rise, you found the house deserted, except for an illusory Kirda. You quickly rifled through drawers, with Gwendolyn discovering Heron's hidden cache of money, before all slipping out of the back door. After a brief scare at the gate of the upper ward, you all breathed a sigh of relief and headed out into the safety of Vernock Rise. And that's where we pick it up. You are all through the gates. You are having had some tickets checked, some not. A little bit of underhanded play between some of you. You wind down the main path, realize that you're all sort of gathering in a little side street just out of view, and you are safe. You are visible, and you're in Vernock Rise.
So are we kind of gathering in a group, or are we still trying to kind of keep ourselves separate?
I think now we're past the
past the checkpoint. We can
kind of a discreet little thing.
Loiter over towards the rest.
Yeah, kind of keeping an eye out as to who's maybe clocking them. Gwendolyn is going to say, "I'm actually on second thoughts, thinking Drake's isn't the best place many people know us there, but there is a place I know that is quite discreet. I'm assuming rooms will be quite expensive there, but these bags of money feel very heavy.
True.
Would you mind if we changed plan and went there instead? Just for somewhere that more out of the way?
Yeah, I don't like the Drake's either.
Is that the place that offers the certain tea packages, Gwen?
Oh, wow.
Yes, and nice baths as well, but I'm sure there'll be rooms.
I'm well in.
Gwendolyn blushes slightly.
It has been a long time since we've all had a bath.
Yeah.
Do we know this place? Has she explained this place to us yet?
No, you know she hasn't.
She got the company from somewhere, but I'm not sure if she's not really told you a huge amount about it. So, yeah, this will be your first time. And she still doesn't fully know what it is. She's got a better idea, but she...
Keely would have, because I think he did clock the person coming through and be like,
the three of us were sat at breakfast the next morning.
All three of us sat at breakfast.
Witnessed someone leaving and went, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, but I don't think... Yeah, you probably won't know about the exact place, but you might have an inkling.
Sure.
So, David, if Gwendolyn may, can she start discreetly leading them through the streets to refine the tipple? And but very much keeping an eye out as she's going for anybody who might be clocking them as a group.
Yeah. I'd say make a perception check to keep an eye on... anybody watching you as you move through the town?
That's only a 9.
So with a 9, you're pretty certain nobody's watching you. Like you have a good look around. You're a little bit, you get a little bit distracted as you're sort of moving through streets that actually you haven't moved through before to reach the tipple. But it's not long before you do find the red door out in the street. That you're looking for.
Amazing. So Gwendolyn kind of, I can't remember, knocks? Is it a doorbell?
Yeah, you can knock on the door. Yeah.
She knocks on the door.
And after a brief moment, a young sort of pale-skinned half-elf with pink hair who you recognise instantly opens the door and kind of nods ahead. Hello.
Yes, hello. Thank you for opening the door.
Of course.
I was wondering if we might get some rooms, but we need to be... very discreet.
Oh, we're always discreet here, darling.
Of course.
Rooms for all five of you separately, or one large room?
Gwendolyn looks to the group.
Maybe a large room.
I would say one large room, yes.
Yeah, a wonderful party.
Just a discreet one.
Yes.
A discreet party. Of course, come in, come on inside. Please do.
David, has it dawned on all of us where this place is, what this place's business is?
Anyone who doesn't know, you can make an insight check, I would say.
I mean, Guy in his...
Guy's experiences.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Orin knows.
I would probably suggest maybe, like, just a few private rooms, just, you know, for, like, you know, sound of mind, a bit of privacy.
Oh, yes, of course. That's very much what we do here.
Yes.
Of course.
It's whether we need one big private room or several big private rooms.
However it is, we do have rooms available. So,
great.
And all soundproofed, you'll be glad to hear.
Perfect.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, you can't hear.
Wonderful.
Through the walls, very thick walls. We have.
Gwendolyn kind of wonders for a moment why they're soundproofed, but doesn't want to like seem naive.
I think Juno clocks it and is like...
And Kido was silent the whole time.
Yeah. Of course, Enkidu grew up in a brothel, right?
Yep.
Yep. And actually, in comparison, Enkidu, this is kind of on par, like, style-wise, with where it is that you grew up.
Hmm.
This feels like the plush wallpapers have maybe been updated a little bit more regularly.
Hmm.
But no, it's in a weird way, it has, like, a feeling of home for you.
Oh. Yeah.
Like childhood memory comes rushing back, even though you're kind of aware of what the business is.
Mm, yeah.
Odd juxtaposition for you, but yeah. Yeah, so he leads you in, and he leads you into just a small, like, plush waiting room, sort of with a couple of lounge chairs and big fluffy pillows and things, and steps away for a while, and before coming back and just saying, a room has been prepared for you. Would you like to pay by the hour? Are you here for an extended stay?
How much would it be to stay for the night?
For an entire night?
Yes.
It would be 100 gold pieces for the room itself, and then extras on top that
Gwendolyn
we can supply.
Reaches down into one of the bags that she's got from Heron.
Can you stop her? Can I do that?
I'd say it's pretty obvious, because like, they're quite a lot. Okay. Well, I know. Yeah. I mean,
well, no, because she's basically trying to do it, reaching
for the bags.
She's reaching for something, but she's just trying to grab a handful so she can then take it in front of her and then look at what's actually in there. Like, if she grabs a handful, what's in her hand?
Right, I should have insight checked to see what your intention was.
Mm. Your hand, as it comes back up, is just filled with platinum pieces.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes.
Yes, I think paying now would be a good idea.
Oh my gosh!
David, how many platinums is it to pay for what's 100? Yes, tell me the equivalent.
I think it's in my mind, like a gold piece is like a pound coin, a platinum piece is like a 10-pound coin.
Okay, and so she says, yes, that will be fine, and we do expect your best service and discreetness. And so she actually gives him 11 platinum coins, which I imagine is what is in her hand.
Sure.
That is so classy. Yeah.
And so if he takes it with a small bow, sort of very gently and with incredibly smooth and hands, sort of brushes the coins onto his own. Holds your hand for a brief, like, warm moment before, like, slipping it very quickly and deftly into his own pocket.
Yeah, Gwendolyn blushes.
And watch that person as they leave. Just watch them.
Orin just watches 110 gold, which is almost more than he's ever had, other than for one brief moment after Aaron paid them, like, just, like, disappear. Like, what?
David, does Guy know what a platinum coin feels like?
Oh, I don't know.
Because this would be Dravanian currency. I don't think while he was in Dravane he'd ever seen a platinum.
Yeah, no, I'll say whilst you might have seen one.
Well, I've seen one now that Gwen has like slapped it down.
Yeah, but you've never held one, I wouldn't say. Yeah.
All right. I was about to flash some cash, guys, but I think not now.
The roses would have had plenty of platinum, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I don't think Gwendolyn's handled this much money, really, because usually other people deal with the paying, but we definitely would have had
access.
And I think she knows well enough what the exchange is. She knows money well enough to pay and give a good tip.
I think Juna puts her hand on the caddy, remembering that there are 4 bags of these coins in the caddy that has been stolen not that long ago.
I just realised I was doing what Chris would do, not Guy would do. So he will slam a platinum coin down on the table and be like, send us flagons of wine, your finest mead, lots of breads and cheeses, any meats and any exotic fruits you got up to that room.
Guys, after what we just went through, you think that's the wisest course of action to bring that much attention to ourselves, flashing our cash?
Buddy, we could be dead tomorrow. We're doing it.
Let's go up, shall we?
As you wish.
Your host, Enkidu, kind of gives you a very gentle look and says, if you have been through something very terrible, then allow us to give you a moment of relaxation. That is the least we could do.
I will certainly take that into consideration. Thank you for your kind offer.
Of course, dearest guest, we can bring you all of the food that you desire, all of the food, all of the drink, all of the wine. Is there anything perhaps a little bit more specialised that you'd like to partake in whilst here?
Oh, you naughty person, you. I will have a word with you later on.
Of course. We'll have some smaller rooms set up nearby. And turns and like leads you up sort of 3 flights of stairs to not quite the top floor, but sort of opens a door a couple of floors up, which has a very large space. There are throws and blankets and cushions and drapery right the way throughout this entire little suite of rooms that they've led you to, with a beautiful balcony overlooking Vernock Rise as well, should you want to, with fairly thick curtains to pull across them. There are sort of reds and golds, softer pinks and pastel colours as you move into this room and then into different spaces. you could basically fall down and fall asleep anywhere in here. And depending on where in the room you are, you almost have like a different theme, a different vibe. If you wanted something softer, you could go into one corner. If you wanted something a little bit richer, you could fall asleep somewhere else.
Oh my.
That's a lot of cushions.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you so much for showing us here. And if anybody comes looking for any one of our descriptions, I trust that...
You were never here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course. Of course. If you do need anything, there are some bells. And he gestures to like little sort of pull bells right beside the door. Just pull one of those and someone will be straight up.
Thank you so much.
But until then... The room is yours. Food will be delivered shortly.
Oh, just not first, yeah, before you come in?
Of course. Of course.
I'm assuming that's like house policy here, frankly.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yes. And if you'd prefer, we can leave it outside of the door, knock and walk away.
We'll decide. Gwendolyn's looking a bit confused about it all.
Don't worry about it. Just knock and we'll take it off your hands. Thank you so much. We really appreciate the beautiful and luxurious service you provided.
It really is very expensive.
Wonderful. If you are distracted whilst staying and you don't want to be disturbed, there is a small sort of steps out into the corridor a little bit and gestures at like a brass plaque on the wall. He says, Just slide that to the left and you won't be disturbed.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Well, of course, I hope you enjoy your stay and I'll be with you shortly. And sort of turns and leaves and the door closes with like the softest of clicks so that if you weren't looking at it, you wouldn't eat like it really is no distraction at all.
David, what was their name? Because I feel like I'd remember it, but I forgot it.
I think it was Rufus.
Oh, yeah. And Gwendolyn will have kind of said, thank you, Rufus.
Of course. Sort of bowed ahead and walks away. And if his name isn't Rufus, apparently he's responding to that.
So. Very discreet here, whatever you want to call them.
You call me what you like, babes.
Fine. Orin opens the door, slides the plaque to engaged and shuts the door.
How's everybody doing?
I'm doing great, frankly. Like, we got all this gold, we got all this platinum. You know, at the end of the day, if your employer is, you know, backstabbing you or, you know, up to some shifty business, for you to walk out of that contract with, you know, all this money, I think we've done a good day's work here, everybody.
Similar to guys thinking that's a kind of severance pay, if you think about it.
Yeah.
After what we've just learnt.
Do we want to know where Heron is?
Where is?
I wondered.
What do you mean?
Well, I just wondered whether it would be good to see where he's gone, why he's gone, and maybe catch up with him. Yes?
Is there a way, Miss Sipthorne?
Well, there is. It involves spending some more of these coins, but I think if I could get hold of some sort of crystal or orb, I could see where he was and what he was up to and potentially... I'm running rather exhausted today, but I think I could either alter myself and go and get the thing I need and scry on him in the morning, so to speak, or go out in plain sight today and do it today and find that out. I feel like if we know where he is, we can come up with a plan of whether we're confronting him or not, which I feel like maybe is the way to go.
Juna, can I make a suggestion, which is brilliant idea? The problem with scrying on him is he gonna, like, have we scried on him before?
No.
I worry that maybe he's got some sort of, like, you know, circumstance or ability to, like, avoid being scried. I don't know. It might be a chance. It might be an opportunity to see what he's doing when he's not aware of it.
I think it's the only way we have of finding out where he is. And I think it's quite important that we know what he's up to, right?
Yeah, definitely.
With the recent discoveries.
I guess that's true, but what I would suggest then is, rather than you bothering your beautiful little feet going up and down the streets looking for this orb, I say we just ring that bell.
Oh, ask them to
bring us an
orb. Purchase an orb for us.
Yes. Yeah? I mean, I think there's probably quite a few things we need, and I do think it's going to be better if we're out unrecognizable, and, well, you're not going to be very recognizable if we send other people in our place, but we just said trust no one.
I mean, I can potentially...
No, I can only do it to myself. Cut that.
I mean, I can. I have enough magic to alter myself, but it does mean we can't scry on Heron until after I've rested and regained some of my power.
I mean, if it's just a case of one person needing to slip out as a different person, I mean, I can do that.
Yes, and we should not ever. And Gideon's very self-aware saying this. Do anything like that alone?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, well, I could also go with you if you want, buddy. I could do the same thing. I got gas in the tank, but just enough.
Yes, and I mean, I have a cloak. I have clothing that I can change into. I can stick to the shadows and keep an eye on things, especially if we're carrying around what feels like a hefty amount of money. I'm going to start counting what I have. Gwendolyn is going to start counting whilst this conversation continues, because
Guy will do
I feel
the
like
same.
It's going to take a long time to count.
Yeah.
It will take you a short while, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of platinum there.
Okay, so what I'm hearing so far is that Miss Stepthorne could potentially scry on Heron, given the right materials, but we also need to watch over the cash that we've got right now and also make sure we're safe for the night. So do we divide and conquer? A team to stay in the room with the cash and a team to go out and get the materials Miss Stepthorne needs for her spell.
I guess we don't fully know how much everything will cost. Although some of you have been to... We know the shops we need to go to. If we make a list of everything we need, we can be very efficient about it, I think.
Yeah.
But maybe you'll stick together, go out, get the things, come back. Continue planning.
I mean, we'll see how much money we've got, but I've got a few ideas of what I could put it towards.
I mean, if we can certainly turn this money into more useful things for wherever our journey may take us next, we don't know how long or when we'll next be in a town. It's an opportunity to get stocked up and get out of here.
Yeah. We've also got... all of this to look through at some point, Orin dumps out the Henge research on a cushion. That's going to take a bit of time to go through.
I feel like there's a couple more things that Rings said, or rather I took from their head that I think would be prudent for me to share with you, that didn't seem quite so pressing when we were in the heat of the moment.
Oh. Yeah.
So yes. Okay. Just nothing important, nothing that can't wait a little bit. But I feel like we should all be in the loop or in the Henge, so to speak.
On the subject of sharing, I might have seen a tiefling friend of ours. I can't remember if I've mentioned this to everyone yet.
No, you haven't.
No.
Just before we flooded the Henge, there was a Children of Havoc member that we've seen before in there.
Oh?
Giggles?
Giggles?
Yeah.
Oh, Giggles. My arch nemesis.
What happened, Orin?
Well, I couldn't really tell you, but I just, as I was leaving through the door before we flooded it, completely clocked that they were hiding in there invisible.
Oh. So they heard everything.
It's possible they heard everything. It's possible if they were wearing a ring, they might now be somewhere else, and it's possible they might be sharing that information with someone else. This feels pertinent.
I think the sooner we find out where Heron is, the better. Right?
Yeah.
Yes?
Heron could know that we've been there if they've reported back to him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I suspect Rings themselves isn't going to be reporting back any soon.
Nope.
But depends what's... The status of Giggles.
So the sooner we can find out what's going on with Heron and spy on him,
the sooner
the better.
We can unpick this.
Yeah. So maybe we need to not use your resources to disguise yourself, but if we can be discreet enough with the rest of us...
Yeah. Well, depending on what we want to do, potentially we have Team Disguise Self head out into the street with a shopping list.
Yep, let's do it then.
Or if people are happy hiding under cloaks.
David, does the Armor of Shadows recharge on a short or long rest?
Great question.
I feel like you said before it was every 24 hours and then...
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right, it was 24 hours.
Earlier on, you asked about using it and you said it hadn't been more than 24 hours.
Because I had a long rest. But it was...
Whether 24 hours has now passed.
No, I used it this afternoon when just before we went into the house, so it's not been 24 hours. It's not even been the same day yet. Yeah, I used the morning, so yeah.
You're basically an hour later at this point. Yeah. An hour and a half.
It's not even noon yet.
Yeah, we'll say that it basically recharges at dawn.
Okay.
To make it easier. That's like a clear time point for you.
Yeah, rather than trying to remember 24 hours.
24 hours.
It's 7:42 p.m.
Yeah, it recharges at sunrise.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no resources to help in any capacity, I'm afraid. So I think I'll stay here and guard the room with whoever stays, if people are leaving right now.
Okay, Enkidu, I'm at this number. David, what am I? What number am I at so far in counting?
Wait, Gaius?
30,000.
No, you're good. So doing a very quick tot up of coins, I'd say you've been counting fairly fastidiously whilst everyone else is talking. You're about halfway through the first bag and you've kind of reached about 550 gold, like in platinum pieces, but 550. You think you're roughly halfway through.
Sweet.
And that's one bag?
That's one bag.
Oh snap, dude.
We're saying there's 1,000 gold so roughly 1K, in every bag?
Yeah, a literal bag. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
For the kids out there, a bag is a thousand bags.
How many bags did we steal again? Was it 10?
10.
5.
Got 10 bags.
10.
Oh, we got 10.
We left five.
Oh, we left five.
Yeah.
Why did we leave 5?
Just couldn't carry it.
Well, and also not to completely
annoy our patron.
Yeah.
Who is a fucking traitor?
Who has? Because I've got 4 bags. How many bags has everyone else got?
So hang on, I wrote it down. 3 are with Gren, 3 are with Guy, 4 are in the caddy.
Great.
So yeah, even from this very quick count, Gaius, yeah, you're getting the impression it's going to be about 1,000 gold per bag.
Okay.
A wonderful round 10,000 across all of your bags.
Okay, sweet. So Enkidu, if you don't mind carrying on counting and checking with that, I'll join Oren outside. And Gwen, you said you were going to come and be sneaky sneaky, yeah?
Yes, it's protection. I'll just keep an eye on things, you know?
Good idea.
If you're going out, you might want to take one of these. And she gives one of the bags from the caddy of holding to Gwen and says, if you could get me, use all of this money to buy the most purple stone you can find. Okay. The purple's just for show.
It is your favourite colour.
It is my favourite colour, yes.
Sorry, are you expecting us to use the whole bag for this?
You must use the whole bag on that one gem. It's very important.
Right, okay.
So you want us to get like an amethyst sort of vibe?
If you could get amethyst, that would be perfect. One stone.
Right.
It has to be a single stone.
Do we have permission to lowball them?
No, you must spend... Exactly. I mean, how do these spell things
for the
work?
Purposes
someone
of the
who
spell.
Knows. Yeah. It's got to be 1,000 gold piece worth of a gem or a mirror or something like that. But I've decided that Juno wants a gem to match the one on top of her stick.
Nice.
But I feel like for that, you have to use the whole 1,000 gold, right? Or does it just have to be worth it? Can they haggle it down?
Something that's valued at that.
You could steal it and not spend any money on it.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
If you can haggle the price down, that's fantastic, but it must be worth that much.
Okay.
Gotcha.
It's very important.
RRP 1,000 gold.
RRP. It's like the flowers. Sometimes things just have to be the way they are. And you know me, I don't ask a lot of questions about this kind of thing.
Okay, well, if we're finding precious jewels, I could do with some for an invention I've had on my mind for a while that I just... But I kind of need a... Yeah, I need some diamonds.
Do you need some of these? She holds, like, some of the platinum in her hand. Do you need some of these to buy it?
I'll definitely need some platinum from someone.
Do you want a bag?
Okay.
No, don't walk around with a bag.
How much do you want, Orin?
Well, I need 300 gold pieces, I would estimate, based on my designs and D&D Beyond telling me that's what I need.
The Juna gives him the amount, the 300 gold's worth
also,
of platinum.
Also, maybe just a little bit more because I've got something else I just need to buy.
500? 1,000? What do you want?
Perfect, 500.
Yeah.
Healing potions would be useful. And also, Orin, I don't know. I don't know what you all think about trying to get the door back, but if we are going to try and get the door, surely we need some sort of reduced potion like we had before. Are you able to brew anything like that?
Oh, hang on. Let me just think. So, David.
Mm, yes?
I can learn the enlarge reduce spell.
Yeah.
However, that only lasts for, I believe, a minute or some short amount of time while concentrating on it.
Mm-hmm.
Our enlarge reduce potions that we had before were like a perma thing, weren't they?
Yeah.
Do I think if I got reagents from the well-stocked cabinet, I might be able to brew myself some of those potions?
It would be quite difficult. There'd be like a little process of figuring it exactly out. So you'd probably need multiple like sets of reagents and things. But yeah, with the spell in mind and then applying that to an alchemical procedure, I'd say eventually you'd probably be able to create something like that. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, yeah, I reckon it might take a bit of time. It's not going to be quick. It might not be today. But if I get the bits, I can start working on it.
And perhaps if you could spend the whole evening or something doing it, maybe it's something we could do early in the morning.
Just as day's dawning.
I feel like if we want to get the door back, we have to do it soon. Otherwise...
Oh, that's the idea. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. How do you all feel? Is it useful to have the door?
Yeah, we need a new safe place to be. Fennec Rise isn't safe for us anymore.
Yeah, Heron's probably isn't the best place for us to just be popping in and out of, is it?
Nope.
No. I mean, for a start, Neuron would be furious if we don't knock next time.
Absolutely.
Or he might just try to kill us. Who knows?
Neuron? Neuron's lovely.
You don't know what he knows.
I know he's not very good at cooking potatoes.
Because he's a front as an assassin.
Nurum, the big bad.
Dude, you don't know.
Have you ever seen Kral and Nurum in the same room? No, yeah. I think not.
You ever heard of Mata Hari?
No.
Legitimately, no.
Okay, no, I've based the character in something I'm writing at the moment, but Mata Hari is a famous exotic dancer who is actually an assassin for the Japanese.
I have heard of Mata Hari. That's the Dance of the Seven Veils.
Yes.
Vibes, yes.
She has killed so many people. Her body count is so high.
Actually, my character in Slow Down Showdown, Soraya Rakisa, was of that vibe. I just forgot her name.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
So, Orin, do you have enough money?
Tell you what, just give me a bag.
Okay, so we need a purple stone worth 1,000 gold, diamonds worth 300 gold, healing potions, reduce and large. And if we're going to get a reduced potion, we should probably do an enlarged potion.
Yeah.
I mean, they might even sell them even if you can't brew them.
Oh, that's true. We could ask.
Anything else that we think would be useful or essential?
I want some components to finish making my visor of night vision.
Okay, components. Anybody else need anything for spells or anything like that?
Akili will reach into his pocket. And David, you can tell me, how much of the necklaces that I swiped do I have left? Because I had to crush them.
Oh.
300 gold worth to cast the Shadowspawn spell.
Sure.
Do you have to pay that every time?
Yes.
Oh.
We're a fighting arcanist. Wanted to make sure we got it done right.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a
Darryl.
Good shout. I will say that you probably get another casting out of what you've got left, and then like you'd need some to top it up. So you're kind of like 1.5 castings left out of the jewels.
If you could grab me a little gem, that'd be lovely. Just as a little emergency backup, you know.
Okay. Worth how much?
300 gold thereabouts. Who's counting?
I am. I'm making a list.
Oh, good.
That's so wholesome.
Basically, our shopping list is gems.
Yeah.
Jewelry. Not suspicious at all with bags of money walking around.
Oh, yeah. But don't worry. We won't be looking like ourselves.
No.
Juna, I mean, I know in the past you disguised Myron, it didn't go so well, but do you think you could use some of your disguise skills again? I think that was an off day for you.
Oh, yeah. I've had an extra go now, haven't I, since then?
Yeah. Are you planning on going out, or are you staying with Enkidu?
I'll stay with Enkidu. I'm going to try and get Ruana back. And
perhaps both of you could go through all these papers as well. I'm wondering if you could maybe disguise me a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
I'm using my disguise kit as I did. Do you remember when I tried to disguise Myra as Gwendolyn?
Oh, yeah.
And I rolled really badly and did a really bad job.
I would say make a tools check. So dexterity plus, are you proficient with disguise kit?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, your dexterity and your proficiency.
My new higher proficiency.
Ooh. Ooh, level 9. Why
did I just... I don't know. There's a dice tray right there.
I rolled it on my iPad screen.
Sure.
Oh! Plus dex. Plus 24.
Abracadabra. Oh, yeah. I think using some of the fabrics and things in the room as well, like just to tie into her hair and things like that. Gwendolyn, yeah, the makeup that you're putting on her.
Yeah, can Juna try and make Gwendolyn look more human instead?
Yeah, I'd say so. Pretty easy.
I was going to go for, like, not, like, too different, but just not like Gwen.
Yeah.
Like a different kind of...
Or like different colour hair or something. Yeah. Because I feel like her hair is very noticeable.
Yeah, like dull down the hair. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like when you contour and make people's features look sharper or like more rounded. That kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just ever so slightly changing the shape of...
Yeah, because she's...
Like around her lips and like her
she's
cheeks.
She's quite
and
that, like angular, isn't she, Gwen? Is she?
I'd say she's got more delicate features than you would expect for most. She's got quite delicate features.
Then I'm going to sort of more like gnome her up a bit.
Lovely.
A bit more bulbous nose and some sort of ruddy cheeks.
Yeah. I'd say you've almost got like a little bit of like waxy prosthetics as well, just to like add a little bit of texture and shape in various places. Yeah.
Think more like, she just looks a bit more kind of washerwoman sort of vibes.
A bit more like Juna.
More normal. Yeah.
Yeah, more less posh, basically.
Less posh.
More like just
exactly.
a normal person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Anything else on the shopping list, or should we head on out?
Yeah, no, I think good to go.
Let's go.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. We'll be recording the next episode of NSQ in late March, early April. So keep your eyes peeled on our socials and Discord so you can send us all your juicy questions. Myself and Baby David will be in the hot seat. We hope you enjoyed the most recent superfan chats with Jeremy Cobb and Alice Corrigan. If you too want your chance to pull up a pew and have a brew with the superfan crew, then email us a recording, no longer than 5 minutes, telling us why you're a No Small Roles superfan. Please record on the equipment you would use for an episode and send it in MP3 format to nosmallroles@hotmail.com. For our theatre-loving listeners based in America, this is a reminder that Ben has just one more month left touring the US with the incredible Dragons and Mythical Beasts. Catch him while you can. For those who missed Daryl in Yippee-ki-yay, a one-man show of Die Hard, I am delighted to tell you that he will be reprising the role very shortly. He is absolutely incredible in this show, so do see him if you can. And a third and final theatre announcement. If you want even more Daryl, you can catch him in Open Bar Theatre's spring production. That's right, they're doing spring shows now too. And I am super excited about the show, as not only am I doing the costumes, but I'm also going to be in it. It will be mine and Daryl's first tour together. I'm so happy we get on better than Gwendolyn and Enkidu do. So, if you want to come and see us being absolutely ridiculous, then come along between the 10th of May and the 10th of June to see us in Jane Austen's classic story, Sense and Sensibility, performed by just 4 actors. It's going to be smashing. As usual, we'd love you to like us, subscribe, follow, rate, and review us in all the places where you do all the things. But that's all from me for now. Let's get you back to the story.
Amazing. So, who is it that's heading out?
Me, Gwen, and Oren.
Yeah.
Are you leaving the spare cash or are you taking the bags that you
I think Gwendolyn will leave. I think Gwendolyn will bring a bag of gold with her.
Mm-hmm.
A bag of platinum with her. So I think we've probably got 3 bags total, like 1 bag each. Is that enough or do we need another, a 4th?
I've given you a bag. I've given Oren a bag.
Yeah. And then Gaius has taken a bag for funsies.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that should
just so that we know how much cash is out there, yeah, in case something happens. Like, yeah,
amazing.
I just have a quick spell question.
Yeah,
does alter self, which I feel like Oren would know, alter self rather than disguise self changes the physical body rather than clothing, doesn't it?
It holds up a bit more than disguise self.
Yeah, whereas disguise self is an illusion. Like, yeah, with alter self, you can physically make yourself look like a different person.
But it doesn't change the clothing, does it? I'm assuming it probably wouldn't change the clothing. So has anyone got, before we leave, has anyone got like any robe or anything like that that Oren can kind of like...
You can wear my robe. Yeah, take this, Oren.
Okay. Ah, tell you what. Yep, perfect. And I don't know if we're disguising ourselves here or whether we're going to do it when we get outside, but...
Well, Gwendolyn is already looking different.
Oh, that's true.
Guy will appear as an elderly gentleman, and that's it.
So Oren, now that he's got Juna's robe, will appear as a very sort of smart-looking gnome. So, you know, neatly trimmed hair, and pop the robe on, because it's a Juna-sized robe, so...
Yeah. And it's surprising how easily, like, even before Oren's cast any spells or anything, like, how... quickly Oren looks a little bit gnomish, just suddenly wearing a different cloak. But the 3 of you head off out into town. As you're sort of exiting, Rufus is coming up with a tray of food and drinks and things. So whether or not you wanted to take one, he kind of gives you a questionable look of like, you weren't the people that went in there.
Oren just winks.
Like, hey, you know, if you want to play dress up, great.
Wait, did they recognize them even with their disguises?
More from context, I think, than
okay,
than like, yeah, there is a definite like, you were not the people that walked into the room.
Right, okay.
Odd.
Yeah.
But then like, then delivers the food into the room for the others.
Yeah, I suppose it's not unusual for them to see.
They've seen all sorts. Like,
they've seen all sorts. Yeah. No kink shame in here.
Mm-mm. So yeah, the 3 of you leave, which leaves then Junior and Enkidu to sit in this rather large boudoir
with the food.
With some food, with whole trays of drinks that are like then slowly like coming up one after the other, selections of ales and wines and teas and a whole tray of pastries, some cured meats. It's a whole little feast there for you.
Shall we have a wine, Enkidu?
I think the occasion calls for one, Miss Septon.
Juno sort of pours them both a wine. Enkidu, how are you doing after everything that's happened recently? We've not had a chance to talk after everything that happened with Malleus happened and everything else that's continued to happen. How are you doing?
If I'm to be completely honest, Miss Septhorne, I'm a little overwhelmed. Well, understatement, I'm quite overwhelmed. So much to consider, so many moving parts, and seemingly no one to trust wherever we go.
I agree.
How are you doing, Miss Septhorne?
I'm doing all right, actually. I think there's a lot to think about here, isn't there? But I think I feel very much that I'm being pulled towards my destiny, and I think we've got a lot of work to do, and it's not going to be easy, but I have faith. that it will go the way it needs to go.
Mm.
And we, you know, we talk about light and we talk about dark, but I think, you know, it may lead us to the darkness, and that might not be a bad thing, Enkidu. But I'm glad that we're all here. I mean, obviously we're not all here right now, it's just you and I, but you know what I mean.
I do miss Ethel.
And I'm really glad that we got you back, because it was hard losing you the first time, and I don't think we could get over it again. You know how much we value you, don't you, Enkidu?
Aye, I do.
And everything you bring to the group, darkness and all, it's very important. And it's a good thing as well as a bad thing. The same with the light. I just needed to say that.
I understand. Yeah, thank you.
Now, should we get Rowana back and give her a stroke?
Be curious to see how she's got on. I hope she's okay.
Me too. And yeah, I can instantly bring her back if she's just been...
Yeah, if she's just
hounding
like,
around
exactly,
Chargel Hall.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And there is like a small bamf as this like, yeah, bloodhound appears, sort of somebody's tattered pants in their mouth.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. She's clearly like slightly agitated, but then realizes what's going on, settles down.
I can't wait for that side quest.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to choose not to ask her what's been going on, because we can all find out another time, can't we?
But she, she drops the pants, sort of nuzzles you a little bit, Juna, and then goes and sits on Enkidu's lap.
Enkidu will mage hand the pants and flick them daintily out the window.
I can't wait for Rufus to find the pants on the floor when we
They're
leave.
They're blowing in the breeze outside.
Again, not the first time underpants have been thrown through the windows.
And Kidu's giving Rowana scritches behind her ears and just giving her a little rub down.
Rowana loves it.
Oh, mm-hmm. Good to have you back. Look at you. Look at you.
She's good like this, isn't she?
She is.
I like you like this, Rowana.
There's a little waggy tail.
I was once a powerful
mage. Mage! I was the greatest of them all! Now I'm eating pants! Oh my gosh.
I think Juna fills her in on what they've been learning about henges. Obviously knowing that it's, you know, Rowana's not going to like... talk back about the henges, but I think she feels a duty.
She can to you.
To the
right?
She can, but it's not Rowana, the Witch of the Woods. It's Rowana the Familiar.
She's like a spiritual successor to Rowana. So there's like aspects of the Witch in the Woods, but obviously this is her form now. She can't be more than she is.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's not intelligence 16 or...
No, exactly. Yeah. She's never going to be able to return to that. She's kind of like she'd passed on and then it's had like... hearing Juna called out, like, had come to help Juna.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what she was. When, yeah, so that's sort of similar kind of vibe, yeah.
Yeah.
But okay. She would be able to communicate to me any knowledge about the Tillisham Henge, because I feel like
We
had that discussion quite
really
early on, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like distant memories kind of thing. She was very old. That's the other thing. She's a very old elf.
Yeah.
Was she?
Mm.
Oh.
She'd been there long before Tillisham happened.
Mm. Okay. I misremembered.
I'm sure she'd said that.
I thought she was young.
I think she looks young, but she's an elf, isn't she?
Yeah.
Matures slowly.
Exactly.
But I think, yeah, June is more like out of respect for Rowana, just sort of...
filling her head.
She has to exercise the information about the henges to Rowana.
Mm.
Rather than... I mean, if Rowana wants to say anything back, that's brilliant, but I don't think she's expecting any, like, information.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that even though Rowana had protected the henge for so long... she didn't really know a whole lot about it. She just knew that she was there to protect it in a kind of like, yeah, destiny way. She was like, this is what I'm doing. This is where I am. I've grown up doing this. And so now I'm staying. So yeah, the sort of the news that there is somebody is trying to almost like recreate one or like understand it a bit more. That is information that she has no idea about.
Mm.
And June is like, we will do our best to make sure no one does any wrong by the henges. Out of interest, David, whilst we're on the subject, does she seem to react much when Juna talks about the Tor Bear Henge?
No. Again, that comes as news to her as well. Obviously
Which is
she's
also
aware
news to Enkidu at this point. I haven't told you about this yet. You, Daryl, know, but Enkidu doesn't.
About?
The Tor Bear Bog.
Oh. Henge. Did we all see that in the notes?
No, that was from...
Rings.
From... Okay, fine. From Pelerin. Yeah. So Enkidu does not know. Okay, cool.
But he does now.
He does now. Okay.
Cool.
Didn't Kyodis say that Heron was heading south? I thought Torbjörn Bog was north.
He did, but I don't know what Heron's necessarily let Kyodis in on, and I don't know what to think about Kyodis at the moment until a ginger arrives, so at least we can be sure, can't we? But if we know where Heron is...
Yes. It'll help make whatever we decide to do next that much easier.
Yeah.
I think a key thing for whatever we decide as a group is that we all understand what it is that we want.
And what do you want? What do you want at this point, Enkidu?
I need to understand what I am, really. Answers. Why am I going to the places I'm going? Who and what they're for? And I need those reasons to be my own. Not Erida's, not Heron's, not the consortium's, but mine own.
Not Gilgamesh's?
I'm sure he'd understand. There was a time, some time ago, where all of us, when we were training for the guard, had a kind of falling out for a little while. We'd gotten used to life in the city. Things were peaceful. We weren't fighting for our lives. And in that time, we all found out that there was options to go after things that we wanted. And we had to kind of part ways for a little while. I'm sure you may have some inkling of understanding that when you're with a certain group of people that you're tied to and you cling to for so long for one reason, and when you find that that reason that kept you together for so long isn't as prevalent anymore, sometimes you need a bit of space to understand how much you mean to each other. And I think the outcome of that turned out to be healthy for all of us, even though we had many slip-ups and ventures along the way. So, even if what I need to do, whatever it is I choose to do next, isn't quite exactly what Gil wants, I'm sure he'd understand.
Fair enough. Whew, there's a lot to untie there, isn't there?
So much. It wasn't easy. And neither is this. It's not any less complicated.
No.
But we have each other. I'm sure we can figure something out.
It's good to hear you say that, Enkidu, and I completely agree.
It's good to feel that I believe what I said.
I really don't want to, but can I insight check him, please? Oh! I really want to, and I love this moment, but I just have to. Oh, no. Seven.
Yeah, I suppose you take everything at face value.
Mm-hmm.
Enkidu, is there anything in there that causes doubt, I suppose, for Juna?
I think Juna's just trying to work out, if it came down to it, I think Enkidu has said some things about getting Gil on the throne, and she's just trying to gauge whether that's still sort of the big prime directive for him, or whether he's sort of changing, I guess.
Okay, I get you. And it was a 7, yeah?
Yeah.
So.
Does it really matter what I'm trying to find out?
I mean, if there's something. So to that, I'd say that information is restricted to higher rank.
Touché, Daryl.
No,
touché.
I won't. But at 7, at face value, you see that he's exhausted. He's so tired. Emotionally, like, so much has happened in just this day. And, I won't say anything else. It was a 7.
Yeah, fair so. Enough. Fair enough, Daryl. I think she does trust him, but just is like, hey, we nearly lost him again. So, yeah.
So, yeah, the two of you continue to talk. Help yourself to all of the copious amounts of wine that have been delivered.
Lovely.
Everybody else on the shopping trip.
Yeah.
Rather than role-playing the entire shopping trip, what's the list of stuff that you're after? And I will give you some prizes.
Sylvie.
So a purple stone, a gem amethyst worth 1,000 gold mm-hmm. pieces, diamonds worth 300. Yeah, I mean, do we need more? Healing potions, reduce enlarge potions, or the reagents to make them.
Mm-hmm.
Spell components for Orin. More shadow spawn gems. And I'm going to say some supplies for being on the road as well. Because sure, we don't know where we're going.
The components that Orin is looking for, he's looking for... he's got 6 out of the 10 components he needs to make his visor of night vision. And he needs 4 more components. So he's on the look for them.
Yeah. I'll say, between popping into the well-stocked cabinet and the trinket trove, which is a sort of a magic items, it's a magical shop. Pretty standard, pretty weirdly boring shop considering it's full of magical things. You manage to get the gems, the reagents, trying to find a potion of enlargement and a potion of reduction. That is a little bit trickier. They've got parts of, in the well-stocked cabinet, parts of things to make a potion of enlargement, but not the reduction one.
Okay.
So they've got like half of what you need. They've got like just some things that might go toward it. The shop assistant is basically throws some extra ingredients at you, being like, these, from my experience, this might help amplify, so it might help make bigger, but
Orin will buy them.
Yeah,
on the off chance.
You manage to find in the trinket trove, you manage to find all of the gems that you need. It being a magical shop, they're like, oh yeah, people come in here for well cut gems all the time. So here is our like protected section at the back. And then as you kind of like round your way, having grabbed all of that stuff, round your way back through, you pop into a couple of different shops to grab a whole bunch of like rations and I don't know, extra blankets and stuff, whatever, like tents and things.
Yeah, tents and stuff, or anything that we might have left on the cart.
Yeah.
But actually, we're going to need.
Yeah. And I'd say all of that, like, sort of traveling stuff probably sets you back about 250 gold. But that covers, like, 5 people's worth of travel arrangements. And
prices have gone up.
Price,
250 gold, you say?
Yeah. To... but then at the same time...
We are well-rationed with that. We have got a lot of shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you basically...
Tense.
With money being no object, I assume you just go, oh, yeah, we'll have some of that, we'll have some of that. Oh, yeah, and we always need pillows. Come on, like, extra pillows.
I was just going to say, it is all really, like, top-of-the-line sort of stuff, so it folds down really tight, but it also dries out quick, as well as, it's the good shit.
Exactly that, yeah. If you want to do any haggling for reduction on prices, I will let you just sort of do a blanket roll across it all.
Yes!
Yeah.
Can see Chris there being like, hello.
Let that man haggle.
Yeah, I would say make a persuasion check, just to see.
Okay. Persuasion check, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
How much do I want to be cheeky about this? Do I just do a blanket roll, or do I cast magic, guys?
Oh. Don't do anything that requires concentration.
No, I don't need anything that... Why?
Well, you've got disguise self up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want Guy to suddenly appear in a shop.
Yeah.
Who's this guy?
This guy.
You attempt to charm a humanoid, you use the wisdom saving throw at disadvantage. Fails at his charms until... Doesn't say it's concentration.
No, then it's not. Then you're good.
Mm-hmm.
I will cast Charm Person at the person who's selling us the really expensive...
At the magic store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. What do they need to make?
Wisdom saving throw, please.
That was a 9.
Ah, 16, sucker.
Amazing. They're being very generous to you and, like, throwing in extra little bits of gems, like, trying to round out the package as much as possible for every possible need. Make a persuasion check as well, though, just to see how much the price is reduced.
Persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a 16.
16. Cool. So, a wonderful 150 marked off of that gem that Juno was after.
Nice.
And then they throw in an extra Wingthrup wand for you.
Oh.
What is this?
What's the Wingthrup wand do?
Great question. I don't know. Sometimes I say things and I...
Well, we have to figure it out later. It's fine.
Figure it out. Well, I mean, if they're selling it, they know.
Oh, yeah,
know
they
what
should know. Yeah. That's why they give it away free. They're like, boom. Good luck. Hope it works. No returns.
It's a Wand of Secrets.
Cool.
Which is a wand that's got three charges, and while holding it, you can use an action to expend a charge, and if a secret door or trap is within 30 feet of you, it points to it.
Nice.
Ooh.
So it doesn't disarm it, but it just helps guide you a little bit.
Nice. Points to it, doesn't reveal it.
Would it have helped us in that spoons competition with the dark room that turned light with the secret door?
The problem is we knew where the door
so
was, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
The door just disappeared, is it? Yeah, a slight difference there.
Okay.
But yeah, so yeah, get a little extra wand.
Nice.
How much for all the healing potions and potion components, etc.?
For all of the potion-y bits, I will say 600 gold pieces for, like, basically the four sets of extra things that Orin needs.
Nice.
All of the reagents and things there. The extra, the sort of gesture towards an enlarged potion.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll say four greater healing potions.
Ooh.
And two superior healing potions.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sort of brings you up to everything else.
Beautiful.
And that's all within the 600?
All within the 600. As you've sort of come in bulk buying, they're quite happy to be like, oh, sure.
And we're probably getting the expensive prices because I suspect, transformed ourselves to look the more upmarket.
You're looking a little bit more. You've come in flashing platinum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get the platinum price.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, so that's a total of... including the price for where we were staying for the night, that's a total of 2,410.
Bloody Nora.
I will take that off of our other total and work out how much we get to divide between ourselves.
Beautiful.
Amazing.
Nice, nice, nice. So yeah, you all, the three of you kind of circle back, especially knowing that your disguise has a bit of a...
It's a one-hour. It's a one-hour thing.
Exactly. Like, it's a quick old trip out, get what you need. Yep. And I think maybe that's why sort of the haggling hasn't been as strong either, because you're like, yep, sure, we'll pay.
Yeah, great,
it. Like,
fine. Oh no, I don't sound like Orin. Yes, that's fine, very good. Never mind, bag it.
Gwendolyn's been talking very little, but when she has been talking, she's been trying a softer version of her Juno impression.
And what does that sound like?
Biggest
I'm glad you said that, David. I was about to ask.
Yeah, priceless.
Viewers, me and Grace are recording together tonight, so I am sat like shoulder to shoulder with
shoulder
Grace.
To shoulder to shoulder, whilst I do that.
Listeners,
so if you could look into Vicky's eyes.
That was...
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, that's really nice. That. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's basically what she's doing.
Abracalads. Well done, Grace.
That was strong. It was strong.
It's an improvement on the last time she did her impression for the gang.
So yeah, it gets to about the sort of 55-minute mark when you were all stepping back into the room where Vicky and Enkidu.
We have now merged into one being, indistinguishable. Yeah.
Juno stepped over for the recap. Vicky's pops over to have a drink with Enkidu.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Juno, are you aware that we swapped places today? No, I was not aware of any of this kind of shenanigans.
Yes.
So Juno and Enkidu are having a drink. And basically had an hour to...
Oh my gosh.
To drink and eat food and chat. So they're probably much more relaxed.
Oh,
yeah.
Orin transforms back as soon as he comes in.
Right, that's... Well, we got a lot of stuff. I'll count through the rest and I'll divide up what we have left over between all of us. If that sounds like a good idea.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want these ones? And she gives her the two from the caddy.
Fantastic. I think that was a short rest, don't you? Except for the one. What?
That does count as a short rest for the two of
Warlock
you.
Warlock.
I think that means I get some hit points or something, doesn't it? I don't know how pressing that is right now.
You can roll hit dice.
You can roll your hit dice if you want to.
If you want to roll hit dice, yeah.
Well, I was full. I just need my spell slots back. All two of them.
Should I, David?
Or is it just I haven't had a rest.
Entirely up to you.
I think you should.
I think I'm gonna.
Yeah. Why not do that? Why not do that?
I have 34 hit points.
Yeah. Probably a good idea. Orin will pull out the gem for Juna and pocket the 300 gold pieces of diamonds that he needs for his new invention that he's working on. Chuck 300 gold pieces of whatever jewels it was that Enkidu wanted over his way.
So?
Welcome.
Puts in his pocket.
Oh, that was a lovely rest. A wine rest. Why not, Enkidu?
Aye, and he clinks his glasses with Juna.
Way! Abracadabra!
Oh, you look much better, Juna. You look like you've recovered about 8 hit dice worth of damage.
You both look considerably relaxed, which is a pleasant surprise, actually.
Right, so I guess the question is, what do we want to do now? Juna, do you want to scry before we make any other decisions? Or
yeah?
We've got a lot of research to do.
I'm up for doing it now.
Okay.
So yeah, Juna takes hold of this. Is it amethyst?
It's almost completely spherical, but they've left some of the like amethyst like natural growth at the top of it, so you can like hold it in the palm of your hands as like a nice soft sphere, a nice little orb with then almost
like a little handle,
stalagmites.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, stalagmites. Like kind of mites run up, tights fall down.
Tights go down.
Tights hang on tight.
Exactly. Sort of like sticking out of the top of it, so
cool.
You can focus in on those.
That's really cool. So yeah, she holds it in her hand and she casts her first 5th level spell ever.
First 5th level campaign spell.
So Heron, she can see and hear the person. She can see and hear the person. You need to do. I believe it's a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. For Heron.
But because I know the target well, it's -5. And because I have a possession or garment of Heron's in the form of the pyramid,
what?
It's also -4. So you roll with a -9.
Oh, what? Very good.
Level 5.
Hello.
Yes, Vicky.
Wow.
I found a lock of his hair or a piece of nail.
I'll allow the permit. As like an extra little focus.
Also, if you need any of his items, we have 10,000 gold for
him. That's true. Yeah. A possession or garment is -4, but if you have a part of them, it's -10.
I see.
Which I do not have.
I think with all of the maths, that comes out as a 7 that I rolled, so definitely failed.
Yes.
Yeah, you had to beat a 17, so.
Yeah, there you go. So you focusing in, like having never scryed before, you've sent messages out and things, so like you're used to kind of connecting to people, but how is this different for you?
I think like with sending, it's like sending something out. With detect thoughts, it's almost like a conversation. I feel like this is almost like sort of being in a cinema version of like reaching out to people.
Nice. Are you seeing it in the gem, in the orb, or like is it almost like you're just being transported to like this inner cinema, this ethereal cinema?
Yeah, it sort of comes from it, but it's like an IMAX thing. So it's almost like she's sitting in the front row of an IMAX screen that's sort of a bit of those like curved screen that
Amazing.
Sort of comes out of the stalagmite.
Juna, why are you wearing 3D glasses?
And she's wearing the red and green one from the like the 80s and 90s.
Oh, you really need to get you some polarized
ones.
You
got a magazine.
Yeah.
There is... Yeah, you get that like IMAX intro sound kind of reverberate through you a little bit. And then like the image in front of you sort of like slowly brightens until you can see Heron looking, I wouldn't say worse for wear, but looking panicked and like moving about a space. He's clearly also in the process of like keeping a track of some spell in front of him. He's got sort of runes out on a table. He's moving like little bits of golden string across it, and like, and then from that you can see, like, sort of almost peering over his shoulder, you can see images of his house.
Oh,
do I recognize what room he's in, or just knowing that he's in his house?
No, you don't recognize that he's in his house. You recognize that what he's looking at are images of his house.
Yes, he's doing CCTVs and scrying orbs in
kind
his
of a
house.
Thing. Yeah, scrying on him, scrying on his house, basically.
But I have no idea of where he seems to be. No,
no, like it's kind of a nondescript room. You do get the sense that there are other people moving about the space as he keeps kind of looking up and say, "No, still nothing."
And can I see what rooms he is looking at?
Yeah, he's basically, yeah, looking at the lounge, looking toward the front door. There's also a room upstairs that he's got. It just, to be honest, that just looks more like his bedroom, basically, just in case anyone was going up there to snoop having entered. But yeah, like the corridor, like he keeps like flicking like the runes around and like the string connecting them to different parts of this arcane circle in front of him to try to almost like, again, in a CCTV style, flick between different like cameras, and it's not working.
Do I get the impression that he could scry on the door that is also our door?
The homeward door.
The homeward door.
From a brief view, a time of watching him, no. He seems to have marked up every space apart from the kitchen itself.
But I can't see how close he is to his house or anything like that.
No. After a brief while, he stops as somebody kind of walks in. So he kind of powers it down for a brief moment and he turns to them and he just says, if they did come through there, and I'm certain they did, they
were too disguised for us to know exactly where they've gone. I don't believe they're in the house any longer.
And the voice that you hear back,
here we go,
is Pellegrini's.
Fuck and fuck, fuck,
rings.
Who kind of steps right, like sort of heron's view, kind of pans, like looks up a little bit, and like whilst it's a blurry image of Pellegrini, like the outline of the shape and the voice, you know that it's him. He's kind of got a bit more of a robe sort of chucked around him, but he's still bare chested. And he goes, they know everything though, Heron. Everything. They're right in my head. And Heron sort of nods for a moment.
Well, there's nothing to be done now. We continue with the work and hope to solve it before they catch up.
And Pellegrini kind of like nods, like annoyingly flicks one of the runes off the table. Leaves the room so that Heron like
chaos.
Leans down, picks it up, like starts up the thing again. Then sort of as Pellegrini's like half out the door, sort of turns and goes, do you want a cup of twain tide or anything? And Heron's like, no, I've got one here, I'll keep watching. And then continues a little scrying pattern, sort of almost like activating the runes again, and this time it's focused a little bit more on Kirda, the image that comes up, Kirda sitting in the living room. And Heron just kind of like tilts his head at it. And then the IMAX view that you have starts to like fade away again.
The credits start to roll.
Credits start rolling. Heron Ilwin. Played. The betrayer.
Do you want to hold out for those post-credit scenes? Because they are doozies.
Oh, yeah, is there a post-credit scene?
That's not a post-credit scene. No, setting up the next time you scry.
Thank you for that, baby David. That was really fun. It was really fun scrying with you. As opposed to against you.
Sure, exactly, yeah.
Obviously, Juno regales what she's seen in the scrying to the rest of the group instantly.
Well, that's that then.
Solve what? Yes, before we catch up with them.
Okay. They know we're on their trail. We don't really know what the trail is, but we're on it. What are they trying to do?
They're trying to solve something.
Trying to solve it?
They're probably in a race against the consortium to figure out what the hinges do, and they used us to get closer.
Yeah.
But the good news is they don't know where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the good thing. They don't know where we are. I'm just slightly worried. I'm just going to voice this concern just in case. Has Kirda ever been real?
Yep, that's what I'm thinking.
Has Kirda ever been real?
I've
you touched him.
When I've touched him and things have happened.
Guy?
Yeah.
I've gone into a room full of strings with him and...
Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, Guy, yeah. Major image. You've cast major image, haven't you? You can't touch it, can
you? You cast major image, have you, Guy? We don't know that, do we?
We still haven't told you about the prison.
I did. It was very good.
On the road, one night.
Yeah, you've shown us a new spell. It was
very
just
impressive.
Dave experimenting.
What an amazing
giant. I think we need to catch up on a few things, don't we?
He wasn't a major image. You can't touch a major. You can touch a major image, but then you discover that it's actually the major image.
Oh, okay, fine. So that major image version is a new thing.
Yeah.
But I think that was a warranted concern to air, Orin. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just suddenly thought there was that weird gust of wind in the pub and just, I don't know. Right, okay, so they know... We're onto the trail. They don't know where we are. They're trying to solve something, maybe before the consortium, maybe before us. What are they trying to solve? Something about the hinges.
Definitely something about the hinges.
And yeah, you're right, Orin. They could have not been talking about us.
Mm.
But Pellegrini said that we were in his head.
Yes.
But then that could have been the consortium, but we're right.
Oh, no, sorry. I don't mean,
yes.
But I mean, like, the consortium might, when he said before they catch up, yeah, no, that was probably about us. Sorry.
I see what you're saying.
No, it's all very confusing at the moment, team. Yes.
It is. So it could be either us, as in we got right inside Pellegrini's head.
Yeah.
And also before they catch up could also mean the consortium, because they're both working towards the same thing.
That's true.
What I haven't mentioned, which I've just remembered that I haven't mentioned, but I've mentioned to you and Kidu, is that there is another henge, called the Torbear Bog Henge.
Okay.
So if it all is to do with henges, that could be what they're trying to solve, or where they're trying to solve something.
Where's Torbear Bog?
It's north of Fawless Vale, in the Fields of Valor.
How many henges do we know about in total?
Oh, well, there were quite a few. Just from a quick read of the docs, there's the Lockholt Wood one. There's the Fallosian Hills.
Oh my gosh.
There's a Twaintide one. I think I found that out. Who found the Ash Henge one? I don't think. Did I find that out? Someone found out about the Ash Henge one as well in Orcosh.
Yeah. We knew about that from before, though, didn't we? I forgot when. I think it was a long time ago. We knew about it.
We knew about the existence of henges, I think, from the library, but I don't think we had specifics.
We knew about skirmishes and that seemed like something was being protected, but. I think we've now had it confirmed that perhaps it's...
Yeah, look, Ash Henge.
A henge.
Orin points at it on the document because I can't remember who looked at it before.
Where is Ash Henge?
That's in Orcosh somewhere.
Orcosh.
Okay, so run those locations by me one more time. So
okay,
we've got
Tillisham. We've got the Tillisham Lockholt Wood one, the Fallosian Hills, the Twaintide.
Yes.
The Ash Henge in Orcosh.
Yeah.
The one that you just said, the
Torbear Bog Henge.
And of course, Fawless Vale.
And that was in Pellegrini. And Torbear Bog Henge was in Pellegrini's thoughts.
Not anywhere on these papers.
No.
Oh. Ah, okay. Hang on. Flick, flick, flick through papers. No reference of Torbear Bog anywhere in what we nicked. I think we checked last time, but Orin will just double check.
No, there isn't.
No mention.
Okay. And there's one in Fallosian Hills, right?
Yeah, Fallosian Hills, yeah.
Now, this is going to be a loaded question. This is a bit of a stretch. Are ley lines a thing in our world of Draenian magecraft?
Make an arcana check, I would say.
That's shit. That was a natural 8, so it's probably like I don't know. Seven.
Seven. In all of your arcane research, it's never been mentioned, ever.
Okay. Sorry. I had a wild thought, drawing the line between all of those locations, making a triangle. Maybe that means something to any of you lot.
I mean, we have maps. We could
draw them all on the map.
Draw lines between the locations, see if it shows anything up so far.
Sure.
Yeah, worth looking where they are.
Allow me. Yeah. And it'll press the digitate, like a small, dull light between the locations that I mentioned, excluding the one in Orkosh, because it's not on the Dravenian map that we have, of course.
And perhaps include the Golden Forest. See if that triggers anything as well. I'm not fully ruling out that the Wingthrop workshop isn't built upon a henge.
Some kind of power source, aye.
Yeah.
So we'll, Keely will like use prestidigitation to kind of put a little circle and a question mark over the golden forest. But he'll draw a line starting at Torbear Bog, going southeast through Lake Aira. He'll kind of have to curve around to, I don't know, the mountain range at the Fallujan Hills, take a sharp left, kind of like to Tillisham and then back up to Torbear Bog. It's a wonky ass triangle.
Yeah, I'd say, especially because you don't know the exact locations of things as well. It's the little diagram, and even as you try like drawing lines between different points, it never really amounts to any definitive shape.
Mm. I mean, looks like a what?
Is that a
strawberry?
Well, just wondering about the nature of these things, if they're put in these particular places to affect some kind of purpose, just given what we know of the area and each place. Look, the Fallujan Hills is close to Mervai, the Crown City. We all know something funky is up with the seat of power, with the monarch there. We know Lake Aira, underneath it, they were able to suspend water in the air and construct a henge there. Tillisham had Rowana, the Witch of the Woods, power source there.
Well, she was there protecting it rather than...
She's there protecting it. So what's... And Crow's Tower was not too far from
there. Yeah, well, Crow wanted to get to it, didn't
he? So there's something about these areas and the henges that's... peculiar.
I don't disagree with that. But Crow was slightly there, I think, looking for the henge, wasn't he?
He was looking for the henge, aye.
Yeah.
And his tower was around there. So it must have been there for a reason, right? We just don't know what that is.
Have we got anything that points us in a direction, guys? Have we got anything that points us in like a, we should go to this place to find some new information from what we've attained?
Can we see by the map, David, to answer your question, Chris, with the time that we know that Heron's been gone, if like that amount of time would have led him to any of those areas, if that makes sense?
I mean, you've not seen him for quite a long time, though.
Yeah.
That's true.
Is the thing. So,
yeah.
And you don't know if he's got any other magical ways of traveling around.
That's true. Could be anywhere.
That is also true.
Yeah. Assumedly, the ones closest to Vernock Rise are Tillisham, the flooded one in Fawless Vale, and maybe one in Twaintide.
Mm.
Those are the closest to where you are.
Or maybe we have to go to Twaintide.
It's all pointing to Twaintide, gang.
It always is.
Hang on. The shape that it makes on the map, it's not a spoon, is it?
Nope, it's a teacup.
As we've all been sat here and kind of poring over the notes, have we had opportunities to like point out the things, for example, like the ritual, note about the ritual and the note about... the guardian of the throne and that sort of thing.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Anything else to like sort of expand on those points? I will say make an investigation check just to try like sort of, it's a lot of documents that you managed to grab.
Mm. Yeah, we're taking our time.
Exactly.
Would certainly like to at some point.
Also, out of interest, has Orin shared the information from when he did his spell and the information about it seeming like a bar of a gate?
Orin, well, David, I don't know if we can take a bit of time to like, if we're taking a bit of time to look through the documents, Orin will happily start looking through the docs as well with Gwen if she's looking through them. And at some point in going through the documents, we'll have shared that information. Yeah, definitely. Like,
absolutely.
He's not keeping that to himself.
Yeah.
Also, we're missing out. There's another potential source of information right over here. And then Kiru will reach behind him for the bell jar with Petrogranis' soul.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's almost like I decided to just obscure that from my mind. Wow, look at her.
Maybe let's put a lid on her for the moment. It's a bit...
Is she following us around the room as we look at her?
We've kept her in the jar, right?
No, like with her eyes.
Like
a painting. Oh, the eyes!
Did you pull the bell jar and put it in front, in the circle,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of got, like, even though she is just a bust, sort of like basically chest up to her head, and she's kind of like she has like almost a 360 movement in there, and occasionally a hand kind of drifts up and presses itself, or like, you know, knocks on the side of the glass, like a little spectral glowing hand, but then like almost disappears down back into this form again. But yeah, she's watching. As soon as she's drawn out, gives a very small wave.
Small wave.
Do I get the impression that if I had the spell slots, to speak crudely, that I could detect her thoughts?
I don't know if you can detect the thoughts of an undead creature.
Fair enough. I didn't think so, but just thought I'd check.
No one has speak with undead.
No.
I used to.
Oh, no! what have I got?
I gave up on it a long time ago because I was like, I'm never going to use this.
Never going to need this.
I thought you had speak with dead.
Speak with dead, that's it.
Although I suppose it's the same as...
Yeah, that's what I mean, sorry, speak with dead, yeah.
Can we smash it and talk to her then?
Oh, I don't know if smashing it
smashing it? That might just keep her alive, right?
Yeah, that might
just... As she kind of like... Yeah, like, sort of hears that suggestion. There is like a... Almost like a wave and like... gestures. Again, it's very like Engidu kind of gestures. You're like, we kind of have an idea of what you want, but you're waving your hands around in a way that actually we're not sure.
Engidu nods sagely like, I understand. Look, I mean, we're at a loss here. There are so many moving parts at the moment. And
we're not at a loss yet. I mean, we've got a whole load of research here.
Yeah.
Which
we just need to put some work in.
This person could also help speed that along.
Maybe. Okay, if you want to try talking to them. I'm going to have a...
Orin's going to the notes.
Yeah.
Gwendolyn has got totally distracted because I rolled a, a 9 for insight. And as soon as Enkidu pulled out the bell jar, she's kind of forgotten about the research and got involved in the bell jar situation.
Nice. Okay. And yeah, sort of the Petra is kind of like looking around at you all. Her eyes keep wandering over to Gaius. Just like you get like an impression that she might think you're quite a pretty man. But is then like sort of looks around to you and Kidu, and it's like sort of points and like tries to, I don't know, it's a fairly like backwards and forwards gesture with her hand, but it's almost as if she's trying to, I don't know, pull something out. And then, like, sort of, then she, like, almost, like, wraps a fist against the glass. And she keeps doing this, like, weird pulling motion. And then, like, knocking against the glass.
Is she asking to give, like, a parchment and paper?
Do you need a body to possess this talk to us, right?
She shakes her head.
Okay, you don't.
But to both of you as well. To Gaia, she's like, no.
Do you want us to open the jar?
There's a vigorous nodding.
Okay. Now... Will you escape and go somewhere if we open the jar?
She kind of shrugs and then like tilts her head, shakes it a little bit.
You're not sure?
A little spectral finger comes up and like gestures to her lips like she wants to talk.
Guys, I think we have to let her out of the jar so she can speak to us.
Okay. Do you want to do the honors, Gwen?
I'm only going to do this with everyone's consent, right?
I give my consent.
I give my consent, yeah.
Orin?
Orin's reading papers.
What? Orin gives consent and so do I.
Okay, yeah, fine, whatever you're doing.
All right, Petra, I'm gonna let you out, all right?
Gwendolyn lifts it up in front of the lads for them and starts like kind of unscrewing it, I'm guessing, from the bottom and lifting it up.
It's actually, it's a solid, like the glass almost like melds into... almost like a concrete slab at the bottom.
Okay. Oh,
I think we're going to have to smash this bad boy.
Is there any kind of like cork or like magic looking cork to pull out? Because if not, is it, smash it.
Is it a screw top or a cork?
No, it's very much almost like one solid piece that moves from being concrete into glass.
If we're going to smash it, let's wrap it up with some fabric first. We don't want to leave glass everywhere.
No, that's right.
I give you a piece of fabric for my disguise kit.
And there's so many swathes of everything as well in this plush room.
Oh yeah, of course there is.
But she uses it as well because, you know, so wraps it up. Somebody with a heavy object want to do the honours?
Heavy objects. Let me see what I can do. Nope. It's a whip. Let me try that again.
Ooh. No, Juna tries to just go like
brass
slam
knuckles.
On it with her quarterstaff.
Brass knuckles come out.
Juna, can you, whilst Akita is like cycling through all of the different options.
Just swipe.
Juna, can you make an attack roll, please, with your quarterstaff?
Enkidu's stuck in the menu, the selection menu.
He's in the selection menu. Right, I've got a 6 second cooldown window. Hang on.
21.
Oh, nice.
A 21. Yeah, there's almost like, as it's kind of like placed down on the ground, you sort of step back, swing your quarterstaff in. There's almost like a spark of light in the amethyst at the end of it as it collides with the glass. And because the whole thing is wrapped up, you don't actually see the crack. You just like feel your staff like punch much lower than the bell jar is. Mm-hmm. And then just like this very soft light like lifts up out of the above this bell jar, like almost the fabric that you'd wrapped in getting caught a little bit and rising. And then just a hand pokes out, a little silvery hand, and just like pulls it off of her head.
Hmm.
She goes, does anyone know what year it is?
Oh my gosh. Yes, it's 621? 625. 626. Something yeah. like that.
We tell them the year.
We'll tell them the year, thank you.
All right, so I've been in there a while then.
What's a while?
35 years or so.
Ooh.
Yeah.
35 years. Do you know what's happened to you?
Well, I've had a guess, yeah.
Right.
You look great.
So do you.
Oh, stop.
So, we're going to kill that bitch then that took my body.
What?
Eventually.
Great. And that's where we're going to end the episode.
Oh my gosh. We got a new ghost friend.
Okay.
We got a ghost friend.
Genga.
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Ben Galpin as Orin, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, and Vicky Gaskin as Juna. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.